Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. We have been anticipating this day since the end of June, and I know, or end of May, and I know you have as well, and we're so thankful to be here with you. Before I get started this morning, I want to start like Grady did last week and give some thank yous. Cassidy and I want to say thank you to the search committee who made this entire process go so smoothly from the point of the interview with their thoughtful questions, in-depth questions, at times challenging questions, but really gave us the ability for you to see if we would be a good fit and for the search committee to see that, but also for us, and we just appreciate them and their kindness and their welcome to us through this entire process. I also want to say thank you to the shepherds of this congregation who have been so good to us along the way, who were understanding and patient with me during our first meeting when I had so many questions to ask them, and as they had so many questions for me. But just appreciate, they've really come alongside us really the entire summer in leading up to this move and transition, and have truly been shepherding us and being so kind and welcoming to us. And then I want to say thank you to the staff. Thank you for the Hope for Haiti staff who have welcomed me into the office this week and been so kind. Thankful to Alana and to Hope who have made everything go so smoothly and getting all the information that needed to be done, all the forms to be here officially on staff. And then I want to say thank you to Nick for just the overwhelmingly sense of just his helpfulness to me through this entire process from when we first came in April onward, has just been there by my side and Cassidy's side and making all of this happen. A lot of it's been behind the scenes, but has made this transition go so smoothly, and just so thankful for him and looking forward to our friendship and partnership and be able to learn from him. And then thank you to Grady for just the 40 years that you've invested in this church. There's no way to calculate the amount of influence that you have had on this church, and just appreciative. I'm so appreciative to you. Thankful throughout this process from day one when I called you, and it was all kind of up in the air at that point, but wanted to meet you and talk with you, and you were assuring to me, you were kind and welcoming to me and to Cassidy, and appreciate just the past couple weeks, how you have, again, just been that assuring presence to us and kindness as you've accepted us with open arms, and we're thankful for that and thankful to you, and I look forward to our friendship and partnership and looking forward to you serving as a mentor for me as we get started in this ministry. Now, Grady did say to me, and he kind of came up to me right before, or right during that last song and said, at least we're not singing, I'm going down in the valley, or we're going down in the valley. So, but nevertheless, looking forward to our relationship and partnership. Now, I do have to settle a matter as we get started this morning because of Grady's impromptu question last week about how to pronounce our name. Now, 95% of the time, it's, we will say, and it's the most easiest for you too, it's just ice in our, just as it's spelled. Now, the right time and the right place, I might say Eisenhower because it sounds kind of presidential, if you know what I mean. But the reason our name is kind of interchanged like that, we might say Eisenhower, is because, you know, again, we want to link ourselves to President Eisenhower. Now, the kind of story for how our name came to be is that there was an Eisenhower, like the President Eisenhower, who, when their family first came from Germany to the United States, he went to the government workers, whatever it was, to get his ID so that he could work, to get a government ID. And he was illiterate. There was an illiterate Eisenhower. And so the government worker asked him how to spell Eisenhower. And he just said, ice in our. And well, that's how the government worker spelled it. Now, this leaves open a lot of questions. First of all, is that story true? It leaves open the question of whether or not we're really related to the President Eisenhower. It also leaves open the question, should the search committee and elders picked a candidate with a simpler name? That's up for you to decide. But I will argue our name probably isn't the hardest to pronounce, but it's somewhere on the spectrum from Smith and Wasilewski. But again, we're so thankful to each one of you as well. The members here, you all have been so kind to us and so just welcoming and has made this transition go so smoothly. Now, when Cassidy and I were first considering this move, you know, I'm from Ohio. I'm from Springfield, Ohio, not far from here, about an hour. And when I left, you know, I never really anticipated coming back to Ohio. Growing up, I thought I would always live in Ohio. But then when I went down south for Freed Hardeman, then made some connections in Arkansas, it was just never on my radar. And so when this came up, you know, it was kind of learning the state of Ohio anew and getting to see a different part of Ohio. Although I grew up going to Reds games and those type of things, Kings Island, the Cincinnati Mall, back when that was a thing, kind of growing up and doing those things, but it's still coming here and kind of learning a new place. But I was trying to describe to Cassidy what Ohio is like. And as I've traveled throughout all the South and different parts of the United States, just through college and internships, people have different impressions of Ohio. For instance, one time I was in an airport in Nevada on a trip, and I was talking to a random lady in the airport, as you do, as you wait, and she said, "Well, where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm originally from Ohio." And she said, "Oh, yeah, a few years back, y'all had that bad hurricane." "Well, no, ma'am, you must be mistaken. That wasn't Ohio. I can assure you, that was not Ohio." She's like, "No, I know it was. It was Ohio." I said, I tried to say as less awkwardly as I could, but like unconfrontationally, and just say, "Well, ma'am, there's not like a body of water that big that could produce a hurricane around Ohio." And she insisted, "No, it was Ohio." Okay. And moved on from that. But we're so thankful to be here, thankful for this wonderful state and the beautiful city of Cincinnati, and so look forward to our ministry here and getting to know each one of you. Now this morning, I want to look at a passage in Colossians chapter 1, if you want to turn there. And in this passage, Paul is addressing the church in Colossae. And this was a church Paul didn't know. You know, many of his letters, they're so intimate, they're so personal. But this was a letter to a church he didn't know, and so you don't get that sense, that personal nature. But Paul had heard of their faith. He had heard of them because his fellow worker, Epaphras, probably has a lot to do with the planting of this church here in Colossae. And so Paul writes to this church to address some issues that really we're not going to get into this morning. We're just going to look at what he says here in chapter 1. And what Paul does is he offers a prayer for this church he did not know. Now, as you know, I'm not familiar with the church here at Northeast other than our time in interview and our time in meeting in April and then just the past several weeks in getting to know you. Now, I do have to share this. This is kind of a cool tidbit. Is back when I was 5 years old in Springfield, Ohio, we went to church on a Sunday morning over in Springfield, and then we came and went to Kings Island. And apparently, my dad tells me, that we came to Northeast that Sunday night, and there was a small group meeting at the building, and that's where we attended for that Sunday night. And as 5 years old, I said, "One day I'm going to be the preacher." No, wouldn't that be cool? No, that didn't work that way. But I don't remember it. I have no memory of it. You know, I don't remember the trip to Kings Island that day. But nevertheless, we don't have that relationship yet. We hope for it. We're anticipating getting to know one another better. But in light of that, just like Paul here, I want to today share my prayer for Northeast and for the ministry here. And we're going to base our thoughts there in Colossians chapter 1. So if you look with me, as Paul first addresses their faith and the faith that he had heard about. Because again, he didn't know them, but he had heard of them. He says, Colossians 1 verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." He had heard from Epaphras about them and was praying for this church, for the success of that church. And in verse 4, it says, "Because we have heard of your faith and love in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people." He didn't know them, but he had heard of their faith and of their love. And what he says about that faith and love, he says that this faith and love springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. Paul says, "I hadn't met you yet, but I know the gospel has been preached to you. You have this foundation of the gospel preached to you, and it's produced this faith and this love in you." That the gospel is planted in the heart of your lives and in the heart of this church. And as it naturally does, it produces this faith and this hope. And then verse 6, he says, "This gospel that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day that you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Now, as I think about the church at Northeast, right, there wasn't much that I knew about this church coming in. Now, being from Ohio, that sounds odd, but that has more to say about my background than it does yours. But this church has served as a light to this community for years. This church has made an impact on this community. And as I reflect on the faith and the reputation of the Northeast Church, and I have similar thoughts as Paul does here. Now, although we don't know one another personally yet, as I've said, I've heard of you. There's a Christian Chronicle article about Northeast from like 15 years ago as we were doing kind of our research. And so we're able to read about you. And what we see is that this is a church of a great reputation, a church of great faith rooted in Jesus, and a church of love. And just as you have been praying for us, and that has been such an impactful thing for us, when we found out, we were here several weeks ago when we were moving into our house before we really came up here officially, about 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago. And when we came up here, we had heard that y'all were going to be praying for us on a weekly basis, sometime daily basis. And that made an impact on us. That was something that gave us confidence that this church was authentic, that this church was real. And we already suspected that. We already believed that. But that was proof to us, and that made a big impact on us knowing that this church was praying for us. And it's amazing how much encouragement you can get knowing that someone is praying on your behalf. Just like Paul says to the church here in Colossae, that I've been praying for you on a regular basis. It's impactful. And we've seen the evidence of your love through your prayer. In other areas, we see your faith and love. We see it in your intentionality, in your gathering times. Right? I've sat through a couple staff meetings the past couple weeks, and it's just amazing to me how well thought out everything really is. Whether it be the Sunday morning gathering, and that this is a time that people have put a lot of planning, a lot of thought into to make this a meaningful experience for all who attend. Whether it be your life groups, and there's so much thought and intentionality that has gone into those. And as we approach the Wednesday night midweek gathering in October, that's also something that, believe me, it's so much thought is going into that to make a meaningful experience for all. And in that, we see your faith and we see your love. We see your faith and your love in the way in which you serve one another. During the weekend that we came up here in April to meet you and to see if it would be a fit, we were traveling with one of the search committee members to someone's house. And as we were doing so, the search committee, they were so busy during that time that those weekends when candidates came up, it was like their schedule was packed. I mean, we were tired because it was just like every hour was planned. But I can't imagine how tired the search committee and putting all the thoughts and intentionality that they did into that process. But as we were doing so, we were traveling with one of the search committee members. And in the midst of all of that, they were still taking time to bring a meal to someone who needed some encouragement. And that made an impact on us. It was evidence to us of the faith and love that is present in this church. We see the faith and love in this church through the way in which you're intermingled into one another's life. Now, through various internships that you do in Bible college and through part-time work that I did while at school and then the two churches I've worked with full-time, I've been involved in probably, including my home congregation, about 7 or 8 congregations. And I can tell you, I have never seen a church that is this involved in one another's life. You have people in your homes. Life groups probably has a lot to do with that in building those relationships. But through that and seeing how you guys are intermingled with one another, it's evidence to us that you are authentic in your faith and you're authentic in your love for one another. And then we see it in your work with the surrounding community. That was one of the things that really caught our attention when we went to your website and saw all the various outreach works that you are devoted to and that you are involved with, like City Gospel Mission, Matthew 25, Kumo, and other missionary works, Hope for Haiti, the trip to Mexico, all the various ways, and I'm sure I'm missing a lot there, that you are involved in the community and in the mission that Jesus has given us in the church. And above all, we see it, we see your faith and love and your commitment to be a Jesus-centered church. And that's really where we're going to keep our thoughts in the rest of this lesson as Paul continues on in this passage as he describes to the Colossians what he is praying for them, or with the content of his prayer for them. And that's what he continues to go on as he shares the content of his prayer in Colossians 9, it should be 9 through 14. It says, "For this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Now, it's not that they hadn't received wisdom from the Spirit and knowledge of the Spirit, but he says, "But I hope that you would continually grow in that as you continue to seek the wisdom that only the Spirit of God can give us as you're filled with him." And then in verse 10, it says, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." And then he says two things. And the way in which a life worthy of the Lord is kind of characterized is by bearing fruit in every good work and by growing in the knowledge of God. He says, if you're living a life worthy of the Lord, you're going to see evidence of that in bearing fruit and a continual growing in the knowledge of God. Now, bearing fruit, to define that, is to have more joy, to have the fruits of the Spirit, talked about in Galatians 5, to be people of self-control, to be people of kindness, to be people of joy, to be people of patience, that we would continually become more and more filled with that fruit, and that fruit would serve as evidence of the Spirit's work in us. But then growing in the knowledge of God, right? That's not an intellectual necessarily, although that might be included, but it's talking about this personal knowledge of God, right? It's one thing to say, I know Michael Jordan, and you could give all the stats of Michael Jordan and give all the various records he has broken, and you could say, you know, I know of him, right? That would be this intellectual knowledge. And not the Michael Jordan that attends church here, right? I realize that could be confusing for a moment. But the basketball player, right? You could say you know of him, but you don't know him personally. Right? But that's what Paul's talking about here. It's one thing to say, I know of God, but it's another thing to say, I know God. And Paul says that I would pray that you would grow in that intimate relationship with him, that personal relationship. As he continues on there in verse 11, being strengthened, praying that you would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. Right, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a human being, you're going to face challenges. And that's true of Christians as well. Following Jesus, although it might seem simple, right, it can be a challenging thing. It's a high call. And it takes endurance. It takes patience. Paul says, I pray that you would be strengthened to be able to endure and to be patient. And then I love this passage here in verse 12. He says, "In giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." What a powerful passage there about that where it would be so filled with the Spirit, so have the gospel so rooted in our hearts that we would live in this joyful gratitude of this peace that surpasses understanding, and knowing that God is with us, that he's for us, and that he's in us. The power that comes along with that is something that Paul prayed for this church, and prayed for any church, as he would talk about all those he has not personally met. And so, based on this, I want to share my prayer for the Northeast Church based on these thoughts, is that I pray that God will fill us with wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Spirit of God. Right? I was not brought here to share my wisdom. I was not brought here to share my own personal advice. That's not the purpose. I hope what you hear proclaimed here is wisdom from the Spirit of God that we find through Scripture. We pray that we would grow in that as a church, and that anyone who stands in the spot, that it's not about them. It's not about who they are. It's not about what they have to offer, but it's about proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. And I hope I always honor that. That's my prayer. And I hope that that's something we can grow in together, in the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from the Spirit. I pray that that this filling with the Spirit of God would produce fruit and growth in the knowledge of God. I pray, not that we already aren't, because that's something we're already progressing in. This church has such a wonderful foundation that has been built by Grady and by others and by Nick. But I pray that we would continue to be filled by the Spirit and that we would continue to see further evidence of that. That we would always continually be growing to be people of more patience and more kindness and more grace and more mercy and more self-control, right? That, and more gentleness. That we continue to grow in those things. And then pray that we continue to grow in our knowledge of God. Right? Alexander Campbell, who is, of course, one of the fathers of the Restoration Movement, he is quoted as saying at one time that the whole duty of a Christian is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that ought to be our goal, is that we're becoming more and more like Christ, that people can see Jesus through us more and more each day, that we grow in this knowledge of God, this relationship with God, that our lives end up being hidden in Christ. And then I pray that we would be strengthened to be people ready to endure any trial with countercultural patience. As we said, if you're a human being, you're going to face challenges. And as Christians and followers of Jesus, we're going to face challenges. The difference between us and others is how we deal with those challenges, how we deal with those obstacles. And in our time, there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of difficulties facing the church and followers of Jesus. And so I pray we would be strengthened to be people ready to face those challenges, those obstacles that are currently facing the church, and certainly the church here in Northeast, and that we would endure that and come to the plate and face those challenges with this countercultural patience that only comes from a relationship with God and a filling of the Spirit. And then I pray that we would live in joyful gratitude for what God has done in our lives and in this church through Jesus. And I pray that we would live out of that. It doesn't mean that we don't go down in the valley and that we acknowledge the things that are wrong and that we don't live in our pain at times and face those things. It doesn't mean that. But at the end of the day, we're joyful for what God has done and that that's reflected in our lives, which takes me to the last thing here, is that I pray that this joyful gratitude would overflow from our lives, and that we would be disciples who make disciples. That would be people who are truly impacting our culture rather than the other way around. That we'd be people who are so filled with the joy of the Lord that it can't help but overflow from us and make an impact on our neighbors and on our community. And so that's my prayer for the Northeast Church. But then I want to look at one more passage here from Paul and talking about the goal. What is the goal for the church, right? We know kind of where we're going, but how are we going to get there? And what Paul does here is, this is a scripture reading we looked at, is it kind of seems like he goes on an excursion in chapter 14 or chapter 15, where he was kind of very focused and kind of by name talking to the Colossian church, but then he kind of goes on this excursion and begins to kind of go into this poem, this hymn about Christ. And what he says here, it's a powerful thing, and I hope you'll see, it's not an excursion. But what Paul is doing here is that he's calling the church to their central focus and says, if you're going to be all that God wants you to be, if you're going to grow into these things that I've been praying for, you've got to center your life on Jesus. Why? Because the Son is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. He says, in this poetic nature, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And then he gets into the mission of Christ here, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel that we have been called to live into. This is the gospel that we signed up for this thing from the beginning, is that we, through Jesus, would be a force in this world to reconcile all people to Christ. And we've been called to that. That's the gospel, that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and was resurrected, now invites us to join with Him and reconciling the world to God. And Paul says, verse 23, he says, and if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, right, this is the gospel that you have heard and that was proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And by the way, that's why we were brought to Cincinnati, is to continue to proclaim that very same gospel. Because Jesus is the one we proclaim. Paul says, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom. Right? Not wisdom from ourselves, but the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom that comes from the Spirit, that we may present, and this is the goal, everyone fully mature in Christ. As Alexander Campbell said, that all would be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's the mission, and that's the goal. And Paul says, my goal is that they, and he's talking about anyone, any Christian, specifically those he had not personally met, may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. So, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, or as the NLT says, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as I think about the Northeast Church, you know, although I don't know you personally, right, I know Christians all over the world, and Christians like Paul was writing to. And the church is made up of people who have come face to face with a clear understanding of the grace of God, and that they were never the same because of that. Right, each person here was lost in darkness, wandering on their own until they came face to face with this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And your life was never the same after that. And if Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life, and if we believe that what he has to offer the world is actually what's best for the world, then he needs to be the center of everything we do as a church, everything we do in evangelism, and everything we do in our lives. Our missions as disciples, followers of Jesus, which is kind of where we're going to be going the next several weeks and looking at discipleship and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be called by God, kind of this fall is kind of where we're going. Right? Our mission is to lead people to Jesus and to help them follow him, is to help them come to Christ and draw their life from him. The purpose of the Northeast Church, as stated by the shepherds here, is to love God, grow deeper, and share Jesus. And Jesus is at the center of all that. He's at the center of all creation. He's to be the center of our lives as he sits on the throne of our hearts. And so we need to make Jesus the center. You know, there's an old tale that I heard in the past several weeks of a man who went to Australia to as a tourist, but he came to these cattle ranches. And as he went through the cattle ranches, he noticed, you know, just the vast land that Australia has to offer, and just, you know, these where the cattle were roaming. It's just this huge area. He could not imagine how fences could be containing the cattle there. And supposedly, as the old tale goes, he says, where are all the fences? And supposedly this Australian rancher said, you know, we just make wells. We don't use fences. We make wells. And the cattle will always come back because they know where their source of life is. Now, whether that's true or not, don't go Google searching Australian ranchers this morning and how all that works. But this old tale, I want to take this principle from that, is that that's what we're called to do as the church. Our job isn't to build fences, isn't to build walls, it's not to contain people, but it's to center everything we do around the well of Christ and to call people to him. And what we're called to be is a people who drink from that well and are filled by it, and in him we have our life, we have our being in Christ. And then our mission is to call people and to show them where to find water. So this morning, let's join in partnership in the gospel. We have a lot of work to do, but we're building upon a great foundation. So let's continue to steward what has been done in the past and what has been done so well in the past. And let's continue to catapult from that and what God has done in this church in the past and be ready for what God is going to do next. Here in just a moment, Ben is going to come and say a few thoughts before he leads in singing. But as we do so, let's close this morning in prayer. Our Father, We're so thankful to come before you. Father, we don't deserve to be your servants. We're unworthy of you, but you have created us with this value of being created in your image, Father, and you've called us back to that as we lived our own ways. We lived in darkness, but through Jesus, we've come face to face with your grace. And we're so thankful to have experienced that, and we can never look at the world the same now. Father, we're thankful for Jesus, his life, and his death, and his resurrection. And we're thankful that we get to take part in what you were doing in the world through him. Father, we're thankful for your Spirit, that you filled us with your Spirit so that we might be empowered to live as followers of Jesus, to live in the power of the resurrection, and to live in the power of your grace. Father, we pray that you would shape and form us to be what you want us to be, that you would bless our partnership here at Northeast, and pray that a lot of work can be done for your kingdom, and that many people can be pointed to the well of Christ, and that they can come and drink the water that we drink from, and that gives us life. Father, we're so thankful for this mission that we have, and we pray that we steward it well. We're thankful for Jesus and the life and forgiveness that he provides us. We pray this all in his name. Amen.